Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Today, I want to take some time to talk to parents and anyone else who has kids in their life, which is just about all of us. Today's world is full of so much chaos and confusion around sexuality and gender. It can be daunting to raise our kids in this environment. We need to take it seriously, but we don't need to live in fear. I hear from so many parents who are terrified of this world, and some of them choose then to just put their head in the sand and not do anything. Some of them try to raise their kids in a bubble to protect them from everything.
A bubble boy?
Yes, a bubble boy.
And in doing so, don't equip their kids to navigate the world that we're living in. So we need to take it seriously, but we don't have to live in fear. I want to share about three aspects of life that the LGBTQ community is offering our kids and how we can help them find those aspects of life in the gospel instead. The LGBTQ ideology is offering identity, purpose, and hope. Even though it's an identity, purpose, and hope that's built on deception, depravity, and deceit, it can still be enticing to our kids, just like it's been enticing to me in when I was a teenager, and we see it exploding in the world around us. It's offering them something, and we need to offer them something better. It can be fearful and discouraging as we look at the world around us, but God has put us here for such a time as this. What a privilege we've been given to offer gospel hope to the next generation, hope of good news that's powerful enough to transform our lives and their lives. 2,000 years ago, when Paul spoke about homosexuality in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he stated, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." When Paul wrote this, he was in the business of redeeming and restoring his people, and he's still in that business today. It's been nearly 20 years since I surrendered my life to Christ and walked away from homosexuality. And today I get to be a part of a ministry where we see people making those decisions every day, where they're finding their true hope in Christ. And so we can do this, but we need to be prepared. We need to be equipped, because today we see up to 25% of Gen Z identifying as LGBTQ. So we must disciple our kids in this area. So let's dissect these three areas that the LGBTQ community is offering to our kids. They're offering them an identity. They're offering them this identity of who they are. I've spoken at hundreds of churches across the country, and Christians have repeatedly asked, why is this sin of sexuality issues, homosexuality, transgenderism, you know, all the things across that spectrum, why is it being treated differently than others? Like, we're not being forced to celebrate other sins, like they're trying to force us to celebrate this type of depravity. And I always kind of jokingly point out, you know, I do think we celebrate other sins. I think I've been forced to celebrate gluttony at many church potlucks, right? Like, we just become so numb to other sins. But I do think that there's something different about this. Part of it is the level of depravity, the level that we have become our own gods. And out of that, we define ourselves. We find our identity based on our feelings. So I do think there's an aspect of where LGBTQ sins are being treated differently at the cultural core, at a cultural level, at a spiritual level. I believe that part of it is because it's not just something that people do. It becomes how they define themselves. It's their identity. It feels like it's who they are. They define themselves based on this self-perception. But a healthy identity, one that's shaped from the gospel, comes from above. Teenagers are desperate to discover who they are. As long as they're looking inward, the identity that they're forming will stem from whatever they're feeling at the moment. But when we surrender our whole selves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we can discover an identity that God created for us. Colossians 3:3 states, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. A new identity grows from the ashes of death of our former self." When a teenager expresses an identity that concerns us, our first response should be to listen and ask questions. Recently, I had a teenager ask, "Can I be a Christian if I'm asexual?" My first response was to thank her for the question and then ask her what she meant by asexual. She explained that she didn't experience a raging sexual desire for either gender, like all of her gay or straight friends did. And I exclaimed, "That's great, because a raging sexual desire for anyone other than your husband or wife would be lust." I was then able to share the gospel and explain how a Christ-centered identity would mean that she would no longer have to make herself fit into one of the many boxes and labels and categories that society is trying to force everyone into right now. So we need to be speaking a Christ-centered identity into our kids at all stages of their life. It means that our kids don't have to rediscover their identity every day as their feelings change. Secondly, the LGBTQ ideology offers a purpose for sexuality and gender. It's just a misplaced purpose. As we discuss LGBTQ issues, it's an opportunity to share a bigger vision for sexuality and gender. And this is a vision we should be sharing with all kids who are being raised in a Christian home. Don't just talk about 1 Corinthians 6, but also talk about Genesis 1. In a world that doesn't even know what a woman is, there's so much confusion, not only for kids who think that they're LGBTQ, but for heterosexual kids, for all kids. They all have a fallen sexuality, because it's our sexuality and gender is such a big part of our humanness that our heart is going to twist it. So we don't need to just define, you know, LGBTQ kids and heterosexual kids, but they all have a fallenness. They all have a brokenness that they need gospel hope in. So we give them a purpose for their sexuality and their gender. What did God design marriage for? How is marriage a portrayal of the gospel? To answer these questions, build a vision of men and women who reflect his image. He made them male and female, as he says in Genesis 1:27, and he knew what he was doing. Teach your kids to embrace the role that God gave them. Show them in your own lives that it is good. God created marriage, gender, and sexuality as a gift to all of us. I know that many times it's been broken in our lives as parents. Maybe we've been divorced, or we've been abused, or we've had, you know, addiction to pornography or whatever it is. Show redemption in your kids' lives. Model that to them. Show them that no matter what our hearts have twisted, God can restore and redeem, and it can be surrendered to him. I want to share this caveat, though. In building a vision for biblical manhood and womanhood, we must be cautious not to add our own just cultural stereotypes to the definition of a man or a woman. We live in a world that tries to convince a tomboy that she's transgender, or a musician that he's gay, based solely on personality, talents, and abilities. And we must not add to the confusion by excluding certain people from manhood or womanhood based on our own stereotypes. So make sure you celebrate the great gifts that God has given your kids. Celebrate their differences and their unique personalities, and celebrate them as young men and women, and teach them to embrace God's giftings to them. And don't put up unnecessary boundaries and fences around manhood and womanhood. They'll make your kids feel excluded, or make them question their gender because they don't fit in the perfect box that you're trying to put them in. Lastly, the LGBTQ ideology is offering our kids hope. We live in a world where, instead of pursuing someone for marriage based on a vision of God's kingdom together, our cultural norm is to pursue someone based on how that person makes me feel. We turn to our culture, and it says that a person can be any gender, not to die to ourselves to love them as a portrayal of the gospel, but instead to give us certain feelings. That's what we've turned marriage and gender into, is that I love how this person makes me feel. I love that they this person can numb my insecurities. We live in a culture that tells our kids that they can be any gender as an escape of the discomfort that they feel. Every child feels discomfort around puberty. It's a hard time. It's so confusing. And our culture is offering them hope in that, but we need to offer them a better hope. We need to offer them a hope that we can die to ourselves for the sake of the gospel, and that our hope doesn't depend on our feelings. Being in a relationship because of the feelings a person gives us is ultimately putting our hope in that person. We become a slave to that person. That is not what God calls us to do. That is self-love, loving what this person does for us. So in walking alongside our kids, build a better vision of hope, a hope that comes from Christ alone. The gospel gives us hope in which we have everything we need in Christ for an eternity. That is so freeing. Because of this hope, we no longer have to be slaves to people. We don't have to relate to people because of how they make us feel. We are free to love unconditionally, regardless of how that love is returned, because in Christ, we've been given, quote, everything we need for life and godliness, from 2 Peter 1:3. The gospel gives us hope that the world, along with its categories and labels, could never offer. Our kids don't need to transition genders to escape their insecurities, but the gospel teaches them that God made them uniquely and wonderfully, and they can accept their gender as a gift from God. So make sure that you're preaching this gospel hope and to all of your kids and the kids you have influence in. Don't wait until they're struggling with something like sexuality issues. This is a hope we want every one of our kids to build their lives on, and it should be the foundation of discipleship in our home. As I close, I want to give a few tidbits of advice and do's and don'ts as we disciple the kids with a healthy purpose, identity, and hope. First of all, focus on the internal more than the external. Yes, the behavior that they're doing is important, right? But it is coming from a place of within. Focus on their heart level issues. Focus on what's driving them to do what they're doing. Focus on what feelings they have, and because their feelings are important. You know, many times in the Christian world, we talk about we can't trust our feelings, and that is 100% true. But the mistake we make is completely ignoring our feelings, where our feelings are actually an indication of what our heart is actually believing. And so engage with your kids' feelings and use that as a barometer for what they're actually believing, so you can take those lies that they've been believing and exchange them for God's truth. Make sure that you don't make your discipleship of your kids about just being moral, but help them to be transformed. That's what the gospel does for us. We miss this so many times. I've met with so many parents who are in a crisis situation because their children came out of the closet. They've come out as gay or transgender. They find out that they're living in sin, and parents will say, I did everything I could to protect them from the world. But sometimes what the parents have missed is that their child's greatest threat isn't the world, it's their own heart. It's their own heart that's going to lead them astray, that's going to be enticed by evil. And so they need a transformed heart, not just a system of morality. Next, as we talk about these issues with our kids, we have to be careful to not make these issues just about us versus them. Remember, Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." When we talk about sin issues around the dining room table, don't assume it is the world out there who is deceived. It might be your own child. They might be struggling. So when you talk about homosexuality, sex outside of marriage, gender issues, pornography, make sure that you are talking about it in such a way that if your child is starting to struggle, you are the first person that they can go to. I remember being a teenager and hearing the way that it was being talked about and thinking, I guess I can never let these people know that I have these feelings. And that caused me to live in a state of shame and secrecy, being determined to hide what is going on in my life. We also want to be aware of what heart are we building in our kids for sinners? It's like when they encounter someone in their life who is living as a gay person in a same-sex relationship, who's confused about their gender, are we building a heart of compassion in our family towards those people? Are our kids compelled to share gospel hope? Are we helping our kids to understand that these people in the world, they need the hope of Jesus, and we can share the hope that we have with them? That is an honor and a privilege to do that, and we should be giving our kids that heart that Jesus has for lost sheep. So build a culture of grace and transparency in your family. I know that as parents and as grandparents and as, you know, people just navigating this world, it can seem just overwhelming, but you guys have got this. Go to your church for help. And if there's anything I can do to help your family, please let me know. You can find resources at calibrateministries.com. Contact me through the website. If you're in a position, we would appreciate your support of Calibrate Ministries. We're completely supported by donors. And so if you're in a position to do that, we'd love your support. But please reach out if there's any way that I can help. You don't have to do this alone, whether you're struggling individually with sexuality issues or trying to navigate this in your family. Please let me know how I can help. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.